like, I don't know how to spell museum.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, I'll see you at the museum. And like some of my friends will be like, oh, that's cute. That's
how do you spell museum? What would be a normal way you would misspell museum?
I still don't know how to spell restaurant. M-E-U-S-A-M?
Say it again?
M-E-U-S-A-M, museum.
Okay. It's not right either, but yeah. It's okay.
I like this is like an, what do you call it? Like a, shit, like a reverse spelling bee? Like, yeah.
Happy Cyber Monday, everyone. Did you guys celebrate Black Friday? Did anybody go? Were there any murders this year? There's always murders, right? It's almost like if you don't murder, you're a sucker. They put you, seriously, why is that still legal? They put everyone in position to like shove and push. It's not like the first time it happens, like, oh my God. But like, once it happens over and over again, you would think that the fucking executives would be held accountable for intentionally putting together a battle royal situation, which leads to a death of a person. Open the doors at once and let them trample in. The South Park episode on that was great. It's almost like if you don't murder, you're a sucker. It's the only way you're going to get the TV. You got to murder. Are you serious about this or not? Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 195. On today's episode, Liz Mealy. They should have Black Friday like once a month. But only at like one store a month. So it becomes a real thing. Make it a pay-per-view. Make it a pay-per-view. Take the money that you're getting from the pay-per-view. Apply that towards the savings. Brilliant. They already showed they can't be held accountable. They're not going to. They can't be held accountable for the fucking danger they put people in. So exploit it then. Do it if you're going to do it. And this box of toys here. From Luis Gomez, who stayed here while I was gone somewhere in October. Where was I in October? Oh, Los Angeles, recording my special. Just did the first cut, the TV cut. Looks great. 71 minutes. That's what it comes in at. And now I got to figure out 27 minutes to cut out for television. 27 minutes of my baby. Cut out for TV. It'll be available. The whole thing will be available online. Well, I'll go into it later, but whatever. With a bunch of extra shit. But January 16th. Some quick dates. Oh, and then I'll introduce this podcast. December 18th, Montreal at Theater St. Catherine. Tiny theater, 100-seater. So if you want tickets, you really got to hurry up and get them because it's definitely going to sell out. One night only. And then the first weekend in January 7th through the 10th in San Francisco. I'm doing them wrong. San Francisco, January 7th through the 10th. Punchline. And I might be opening for Rogan December 12th in Phoenix, which I'll see. But I am doing that show with Rogan January 3rd in Vegas. Me, Rogan, Duncan Diaz. Get tickets, motherfuckers. That should be a great show. So, on this episode, what did I say something? I forget. This episode is Liz Mealy. So, she's a funny comic in New York. I've seen her around for a while. And she's funny. And we did a podcast. All right, so here's what happened. This is very frustrating. We did a 2-hour and maybe 5-minute podcast. It was fun. She runs marathons. But at the end of the 2 hours and 5 minutes, I got up to check this fucking garbage nothing thing on my computer. Doesn't even matter what it was. And the Zoom, this fucking recording device, fell off a table. It's not even 2 feet high. It's not even 2 feet high. I'm getting a goddamn ruler. I got my Betty Blowtorch ruler. 1 foot, fucking 1 foot 7 inches. Onto carpet. It didn't break. But I guess it shut the thing off. The off button hit with the force. And the awesome thing about the Zoom is if it runs out of batteries or if it shuts off without hitting stop, you just have a file that's 0 kilobytes and it's not saved at all. It was at the end of the fucking podcast, you guys. We had done the whole fucking thing. We got into this whole fight about fat shaming and whether or not you should pick on fat people. I'm sure you probably both know what side I took. What side we both took, I mean. And then anyway, so we lost it. Lost the whole thing. So this episode starts with me going, fuck. Well, do you have another hour and a half right now? Let's do another subject. Because you can't replicate it. You can't do the same thing over again. I'm not that kind of comic. That's why I hate when you go to morning radio and they're like, tell us your bits. Tell us what bits you want to do. And you're like, I don't want to do any bits, man. Let's just take phone calls. Let's talk about whatever we're talking about. Just make it like Opie and Anthony. Make it like that. Let's just talk about fun stuff. I'm doing my bits. I can't be that contrived, man. Anyway. So we started a new podcast. She's tried to get me to calm down, but it took a while. But then as we started this next podcast, she gave me this list of things that she was going to talk about before. She was like, hey, I have my new CD coming out. Oh, she has a new CD coming out. It's out right now. It's called Emotionally Exhausting. Liz Mealy. You can get it on iTunes right now. And the physical CD is available, I guess, tomorrow, Tuesday. But does anyone buy physical CDs anymore? 3.5 boxes of Revenge for the Holocaust CDs says they don't. So while we start talking, it came up she has dyslexia. Like a middling case of dyslexia, not mild. And so we talked about that. Dyslexia. I'm like, of course that's going to be the subject I talk about. So maybe we'll do the marathons again in like 8 months when my pothead brain has robbed it from my memory. But it's a good, fun discussion about dyslexia. Does not get sad in any way. There's no victim-y shit there. So don't worry about crying. It ain't coming. For Cyber Monday, if you guys are using anything right now, go use my Amazon link. It's on my webpage. AriTheGreat.com. If you go to the right and right underneath the dates, which is the most important thing, right underneath the dates is my Amazon link. Click on that, and that takes you to Amazon, and then you just do your shopping as is, as normal, and then you get paid for I get paid, so it helps support the podcast and the money I give to the comedians. I guess right now is all coming from the Amazon link because I haven't had a sponsor in fucking 8 months. Proactive. It's not my thing. Another thing, if you want to buy my pre-order, the 2015 tour shirt, it's the 3D shirt. Ari Shaffir, Do Mushrooms. It's the Do Mushrooms tour, everybody. That's my 2015 tour. It's called the Do Mushrooms tour. So get the 2015. It's fucking 3D. It comes with 2 pairs of 3D glasses. They're fucking rad. They're fucking rad. I love showing them to people. I love showing them to people and then be like, what do you think of this? I'm like, oh, fucking cool. Cool shirt. And be like, wait for 1 second. And then handing them the 3D glasses and watching their faces go, no way. And then when they put them on, they're like, what? Does anyone else have any 3D shirts? Fucking Steiner. Outdid yourself, man. So yeah, pick that up. You can get a 2014 tour shirts. They're going to be gone. We're not reproducing any more of those. So they're going to be gone. The cool squid one. Rogan told me that I should definitely sell my 2012 shirt again. But right now the answer is no. They come and go. 1 year only. But if you pre-order the 2015 shirt, you get a free poster. 8x11, I think. Poster of the 2012 design. So just go to the website, AriTheGreat.com. Go to the merch page and you can get everything there. And they're shipping everything before Christmas. So I think they're shipping everything on the 19th. By they, I mean Alex Steiner. J.R. Steiner. Who's Alex Steiner? So if you want to send it to a friend or something, they'll get it before Christmas. Which, I've heard, is a big holiday for the non-yiddle diddles. It's one of my favorite terms. Yiddle diddle. It's so demeaning. It's for Jews, if you don't know. All right, let's start the episode. Shall we? We shall. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 195, Backwards with Liz Mealy. And it's spelled back and then words with W-O-R-D-S. Mike Lawrence came up with that. So why not give him credit? There's the banging again. Fix it today, motherfuckers. All right, let's start the episode. Here we go.
Sometimes my world goes upside down. Sometimes I see things backwards. When I go walking in town, can't get back home. Sometimes I see things right and left. And I know that's not right at all. But since I bumped into you, I bumped.
Put this on the fucking floor. Well, we just did a two-hour podcast. Me and Liz Mealy. Liz Mealy and I. And it was lost. This fucking Zoom fell down onto a carpet from how much is that? 2 feet? It's not even 2 feet. And it went off. And if it goes off without pressing stop, then it's gone, I guess. I just have this file with 0 kilobytes on it.
The world didn't want that podcast to be out.
Fuck. It wasn't even a bad one or anything.
I thought we weren't going to angry podcast.
No, you show your real emotions.
I thought we should get high and podcast.
Probably a better idea.
Angry podcasting doesn't seem very listenable.
God, 2 hours gone.
He had to spend it all with me. He's very upset about it.
Okay, here's how we can do that podcast again.
We shouldn't do it again.
No, we're not going to do that one again. I get high a lot, so my memory's pretty shot. So we can talk about running again, but maybe in a few months when I've forgotten everything that we've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I'll forget everything about like Tuesday.
But yeah, let's do something. I want to do this now because your CD is coming out on Tuesday.
It is.
And it's going to be called Liz Mealy.
Emotionally exhausting.
Emotionally exhausting. A 48-minute CD on iTunes.
Yeah.
A lot of catches. Did this whole podcast about all these marathons you run.
And now it's gone forever.
Now it's gone forever.
Can I tell them that I used pictures of cats holding money to cheer you up?
Sure, you can tell them anything.
And it did a great job. I'm telling you. If anybody's friends with Ari, he just wants to see pictures of cats holding $100 bills.
God.
It really changed his mood.
Program that can save this? It's 0 kilobytes. There's nothing to save.
I like how your
recover projects.
Ooh.
No.
No, nothing. Just beeping.
Problems in automatic recovery. Okay, this Zoom has need help. Maybe I got to get a new Zoom.
Maybe. Maybe you shouldn't throw your Zooms around.
I mean, I went. Why was I even looking up? What stupid idiot thing was I even looking up?
Ari Jew comedian.
God, what worthless thing to look up. Whether or not you can search me by just putting in Ari Jukamedia.
And you can, everybody. You can.
Yeah.
How many times have you angrily podcasted?
Plenty of times.
And how'd that go? Did your listeners like
fine.
It?
Yeah, I don't think I mind. You get emotion. If it's, no matter what it is, it's fine. If it's
That's
real.
That's true. Just don't throw your microphone.
Level of genuineness. All right. Well, here we go. Let's do a podcast. It's going to be a short one, everybody. We're not going to have a 3-hour podcast. Or 2-hour podcast. I lost one once because I deleted it and then, what's it called? Emptied my trash can immediately.
Oh, who does that?
I'm a hoarder. So see, this is my desktop. All these.
That's
files.
Actually organized. I could show you a picture of one that's like that, but twice as bad, and it's all over the place, and pictures on top of pictures. And
oh, that's because you got. Oh, right. Once it goes over, once you fill it
yeah,
up,
yeah,
it comes back, and it,
yeah, it's like all over the place.
Yeah, so I was trying to dehoard, and then I was like, oh, let me get rid of. And then I was like, oh, fuck, that was one I hadn't.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
At least you had it for a moment. You didn't really have ours for a moment.
Yeah, I was able to recover like parts of it. It was like staticky, then it would like be cool for like 5 minutes and go staticky again.
It's weird, like it was lost in the abyss.
I was able to like immediately turn off my computer, do something weird with like recover files.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then it was like sort of able to recover something.
I mean, I bet you if you hired a hacker, you could totally get that back. Yeah. Not that you would for like one podcast. Who was it with?
A fighter about vegetarianism.
I mean, it's for the best.
Mac Danzig, he's a vegetarian and a fighter. But mostly it's about the vegetarian part. All right. Okay, I'm going to move past it.
This is like a good exercise in letting go.
Yeah, let's talk about your crazy grandparents then.
Let's do it. I like how this is like, oh, fuck, now we have to talk about how crazy she is.
Well, you're not that crazy, right?
I'm okay.
Well, you are crazy.
I mean, I think we're all crazy, but I like to just say I have emotional issues.
And everybody says, we're all crazy. I'm like, yeah, but you know that's not what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about you're crazy. I will use the word crazy to encapsulate some of the weird things I do, but if I'm being honest about what's wrong with me, it's emotional issues. I have emotional issues.
What are your emotional issues?
I have like triggers, which I think everybody has triggers, but I have like deep-seated triggers about my intelligence because I'm dyslexic. So
you're dyslexic?
Yeah, I'm like.
Why would you not bring that up in the list of topics to talk about?
I don't know what I sent you.
Why would it was that your grandparents both killed themselves? And you have a history of
mental illness
in your family. That was all one topic.
Yeah.
Then you had that your parents are both vets.
Yeah.
Which I'm always like, unless it's you're related directly to having those parents, then it's like I would interview them instead of you. I've had that people a lot where it's like, I'm the child of a war veteran. Like, well, did that change your life at all?
Or yeah.
Like, they have the stories.
True. I mean.
And then the other one was. There was some other topic too.
Like running.
Marathons.
I was just trying to go with what might be interesting, but
dyslexia.
I mean, my whole family has it. So my dad's dyslexic. He had 5 kids, and we're all dyslexic to various.
Is it genetic?
I think it has to be.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah, because to varying degrees, we're all dyslexic. So my brother, I'm the second oldest of 5. My brother is number 4. He's the most dyslexic. Like, he's still at 20. Like, you can't read half his shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not the worst, but I definitely have problems spelling, pronouncing stuff, reading stuff. My handwriting's good, but like I just learned. So dictionary.com app is like my savior. I just learned
really?
That.
Okay.
So like, I don't know how to spell something. I actually have to do a couple of steps because dictionary.com, they changed their algorithm and they're actually not that helpful anymore.
So they can't fill in the blanks when you're like,
yeah. So let's say this, I don't know how to spell definitely. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know.
But where, from how far do you get? You know the D.
I think D E F. I'm hoping.
And then the I or A. You don't know.
So I think I usually spell it defiantly, and I know that.
Defiantly.
And I know that because I got made fun of. They didn't mean to make fun of me, but I have a creative writing degree, like all smart people.
A BFA.
Yeah, and so
worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
The most worthless degree.
Exactly.
It didn't even help you find a job.
Exactly.
Or but become a professor.
I was
it
already
just helps you.
I was already a comedian, and I just didn't care. And my dad forced me to go to college. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So you write your stories, and then everybody has to read them, and so they would critique them. And I remember this guy being like, "Hey, on page 3, I know you meant to say definitely, but you wrote defiantly, and I have to say I really like it." And I just remember like my whole body getting hot and just being like so embarrassed. Yeah, because I mean,
so it's defiantly, that's not one where you're like the way other people would have a problem spelling, where they'd be like they wouldn't know if it's DFI or they wouldn't know if it's definitely or definitely, but like they would know it's one of those things. But defiantly, you know, that's just not.
That's a dyslexic thing.
That's not a spelling thing.
Keep in mind, I write for a living. I write constantly, and there's just things that don't stay in there. Like, there's tricks that have stayed. Like, tomorrow, people have trouble with tomorrow. I don't have a problem with it because I learned it as Tom or Ro.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that because I need those little tricks.
Yeah.
But if there's no trick, it's never going to be there. You know what I mean?
I learned a trick with tomorrow because I didn't know which one had the double consonant, the M or the R.
Yeah.
And then I realized that morrow was a word. Like, we'll meet in the morrow. Yeah. You can use that. Nobody, but that's old English. But then, like, you can have a double consonant in the beginning. So yeah, but you learn tricks for like
rules don't help me. It's like playing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you remember a long set, but for me, I chunk down my stand up. So like it's running bits, it's dating bits, it's bits about cats, whatever that I chunked it down to. But when I do a long set and I'm mixing it and I'm putting new stuff in there, I have to remember that I've now inserted this, you know, credit card bit here. And the way I do it is like visual.
Why? Why do you have to remember that?
Because I have a bad memory. Dyslexics actually notoriously have bad memories. So basically, the best way to describe a dyslexic, this is the best way
to... Is that the heat or is that the guy?
That's a guy. It's a guy above you.
Okay.
Tap dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sunday tap dance. You don't...
Yeah. Right.
But
the right
like...
stuff.
But so... This is the best way to describe a dyslexic mind. If you wanted to go, if you live here and the gym is across the street and you want to go work out, you just cross the street. That's how you get to the gym. Super easy for you.
Okay, hold on. Let me understand this.
So you live.
If I see a gym. They're like, gym's over there. I cross the street. Yeah.
You just cross the street and that's how you get to the gym. And it's so easy for you to just go and work out.
Yeah.
I have to go around the block. I have to like loop around to get to the gym. And by the time I get there, I'm tired and I don't want to be there anymore.
Wait. Why? That sounds like OCD.
No, it's not OCD. This is literally how my brain works. Your brain, there's a special part in your brain that processes math and reading and writing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my brain doesn't use that part that's made for it. It does all that stuff in another part that's not made to do that. So that's why it's harder for me to read. It's more exhausting for me to read. It's why I have a worse memory. It's why I don't do it efficiently. It's just I process things wrongly. Honestly.
Yeah.
And I read a book called The Dyslexic Advantage, which it sounds really silly, but it changed my life. It was really important because every book tells you read shitty and you write shitty and this is shit. But The Dyslexic Advantage was like, yeah, you do these things shitty, but because you process things differently, you have a different muscle that processes everything differently. So the reason that like comedy is about perspective.
Yeah.
The reason I'm funnier than Joe Schmo is because I have a different perspective and I've worked hard on that perspective. Yeah, there's like funny bits in between.
Yeah, but Schmo's got that one good joke about... all right, go ahead.
Exactly. So I have a different perspective and a lot of that was cultivated just because my mind processes things differently.
So if you're looking down at a map or of the street and so you see yourself there across the street from the gym... The arrows of how to get there would go left, then across, then back again.
I'm kind of making a figurative idea of why I process things slowly, but it's not actually how it works. If I look at a real map and I'm trying to, like, let's say I'm trying to map out my drive from New York City to Ohio, and I'm looking at all the cities in between, I can't pronounce half those cities. Sometimes I look at the words wrong. You know what I mean? Like, no. I don't see things the same way other people see things. And so it's a problem when it's words and numbers. So
like, what do you see there?
I mean, I can read it because I know it. I know it says Improv Comedy Lab. But like, let's say this way. So that's Dan Madonina. How do you say his last name?
Madonia.
Most people could probably say a lot of these things if they've never heard it before. But it's funny because it's all wiggly.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, it's already. Like, but like, I don't know if I've never heard psychedelic before. Psychedelic? What is it? I don't even know.
What's the word?
Psychedela? I don't even know. Is it psychedelic? No, that's an L.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the kind of stuff, like, that's embarrassing to me. Like, but I'm...
Psychedelia.
Yeah, I mean, I hate cold readings because a lot of the times I have to ask somebody how you pronounce stuff. I don't know. I mean, I spent my entire life, like, names actually are really hard for me. I always hated hosting for that reason. And in books, I would just be like, you know, Mrs. and I would say Mrs. M, like in my head. And every time that name came up, I would just say Mrs. M because I never knew how to pronounce that name. And I'm reading.
And so you would just do a trick of like, well, I don't need to know the name.
I don't need to know the name because nobody knows that I can't. Person. Exactly. Nobody knows that I can't pronounce it. And so there's a lot of things that I do to save time and spare myself the aggravation. But there's a lot of stuff I avoid. Like, I mean, I went to Al-Anon meetings for a while. I had a boyfriend that was an alcoholic, and then, I mean,
all Al-Anon meetings are kind of fun.
I think they're horrible.
Why?
I just think they're really sad. There's just people talking about how somebody ruined their life.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was like, I'll just stick with therapy. But you have to read the whatever that is, like the amendments.
Yep, top stuff.
Yeah, whatever. And it would always come to me and I would say, skip. I was like, I'm not doing this. I have enough insecurity and sadness. I don't want people to know that I like read like an asshole.
Yeah.
And I read a lot. I mean, I read more than most people I know in my life, but I'm not efficient at it. And there's a lot of words I don't know. And it's embarrassing to be almost 30 and not know how to say shit. But
so is it just with words or is it lots of stuff? Because I always thought dyslexia was just reading.
It's words, and math actually has numbers can be tricky.
Off the page too? Like if I tell you what's 4 times 7, is that just as hard as you seeing it on a page?
What's weird is I'm a visual learner. So I have a hard time, like auditory, like if I have to learn like 6 times 6, it's easy for me to learn 6 times 6 is 36 by looking at it. But if you tell me 6 times 6 is 36, it's not going to stay there. Hmm. I even tell people when they ask favors for me, they'll be like, hey, can you email me this booker's email? I go, if you email it to me, I'll do it. But you asking me, it's like this conversation never happened.
It won't go in.
It won't. It doesn't stay there. But if I see something, even though I'm seeing it wrong, like, was it synergy? Like, to me, I have to look at the word synergy, but if I had to just spell it from the top of my head, I would have to struggle, and then I would have to Google it and figure out if I can figure out how to. So what I usually do is I go, okay, I have to spell synergy.
Spell kaleidoscope.
Oh, I have no idea.
Try.
I don't like this. C-L Clyde. C-L-O-I-D-E-S-C-O-P-E.
Okay.
But I had to think about it for a while to... For
it's not close to right.
It's not even?
No.
Shit, I thought I was doing well.
No.
I don't know how to spell. Like, I mean, I now, like, it's in my bio on Twitter. I write things dyslexically because I can't tell you how many times I'll put something in.
Yeah.
And somebody will be like, somebody will correct it and they'll call me an idiot. And I'll be like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings by not knowing how to spell.
See,
this
dyslexia
word.
As opposed to being fat, which is what we talked about a lot on the other podcast that'll never,
that,
be,
that'll never be heard.
Dyslexia is nothing you can do anything about.
I think there's, I mean, I to just
I mean, you
be
can overcome it, but it's not like
you can't change it. Like, yeah. I mean, for me, like what upsets me is my little brother who's 20. I get that in his is a lot worse, but can is not spelled K-A-N. And mm-hmm. You know that, and you can just practice. Like, what I used to do is I would have my most, like, my 10 top misspelled words that I use all the time, and it was a card. And I could
just look at?
Yeah, or it was in the back of a notebook, right. Because I use them all the time. Like, something like tomorrow is something you use all the time.
Right.
But, like,
you're having your dates in a book.
Yeah, but, and I should have definitely, but, like, I don't do that much anymore because I have these now. I have even more tricks. I can do dictionary.com. Like, if I'm taking a long time to respond to you via text message, I'm looking up half the words.
If you see the three dots and you're like, what's she writing so long?
She's looking up words.
Thanks for your patronage.
Especially if it's a boy, I'm just looking up words. I remember once.
Why boy?
Because I don't want them to know I'm retarded.
All right.
But like.
That whole thing, yeah.
But. My friends, my close friends, I'll just be all dyslexic on them. And they. Like, I don't know how to spell museum.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, I'll see you at the museum. And like, some of my friends will be like, oh, that's cute. That's
how do you spell museum? What would be a normal way you would misspell museum?
I still don't know how to spell restaurant. M E U S A M.
M U. Say it again.
M E U S A M. Museum.
Okay. It's not right either. But
yeah. It's okay. I like this is like an, what do you call it? Like a shit, like a reverse spelling bee. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
you got every word wrong, Liz. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's not that it's right or wrong. I just want to see how you spell them.
I mean, shitty. I spell them shitty.
When you spell kaleidoscope and you put the C and the L next to each other, it's K, by the way, but it doesn't matter. But C is also could be right. If you see, that's a normal misspelling.
Yeah.
It's using a C instead of a K. They're both correct in that K sound.
I was thinking collide, like
yeah.
If I collide into another car, it's a C.
But you don't
it?
Put any, the weirder thing is you don't put any vowels in between the C and the L.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to spell.
It'd be kaleidoscope instead of
But do you understand
collider.
That there's yeah. no like rhyme or reason while I'm doing this? It's like literally I have no idea. And so the only thing, like restaurant, I know while I'm spelling it that it's wrong because I remember that I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
Like I think rest and then is it U-A-R?
A-U.
It's A.
A-U-R.
Yeah, something like that. Like I have to fuck around with it.
That's a hard one. And I've had trouble with that one.
But it's like, to me,
it's like restaurant. It almost sounds like there's nothing in between.
And it's, you don't realize how much accents play into things. Like, I'm from Jersey, and we just don't pronounce things.
Ew. So, everybody from Jersey pronounces everything terribly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not sticking up for Jersey. I will stick up for dyslexia.
At least you don't have the accent.
I don't know what my accent is.
It's nothing. It's fine. It's American.
American. But yeah, I the dyslexic advantage helped because it made me realize that there's a flip side to everything. And so, like, there's tons of books that talk about, if you go to any kind of entrepreneurship conference and you ask how many are dyslexic, it's like half of them. And there's something about dyslexia and the trials and tribulations of
starting your own business.
I mean, you fail a lot. How many times have I failed spelling in this, you know, in these 5 minutes? Like, you're
a lot.
Yeah, I'm not good at it, but you process things differently, and in some way it's wrong, but in other ways that different, like, I'm they call it was it differentiation? Oh, I forget the word.
You think of the word. Okay, what's the word?
Divergent thinking. So one of the things that dyslexics are good at is divergent thinking, which is that's my cat.
Yeah, nice.
Thinking of a bunch of different ways of using something, or a bunch of different ways to solve a problem.
Instead of the right way, or just in general?
So let's put it this way. You're driving down the highway. There's a shit ton of traffic. Yeah. You just hear on the radio there's a car accident and it's backed up for an hour. What are you going to do? You're either going to sit in traffic, or you're going to think of other ideas.
It'll just be hours. Huh? Or you think of different ideas.
But then your thought is, I've never been to this part of the town, and how am I going to figure it out? And so a part of me is like, well, what are some ways to solve this problem? I could go down the nearest exit and see if I can figure out a way to cross over this. I've been on enough highways. I could call somebody. I could Google it. I could find my friend from Ohio that's been to this part of it. Like, there's a bunch of different solutions to this problem. And one of the things that I've always been good at is, that's why I don't like people that have low hanging fruit jokes, which is, you just went with the first thought you had. That's probably your dumbest, you know what I mean? It's your dumbest thought. So for me, they say divergent thinking is being able to think of multiple ways, and I'm a good problem solver for that reason. And
dyslexic are that, because they have to find other ways to get to it.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's the way I'm with math, where it's like, I don't know how to solve for X and Y, but I do know if I keep plugging in different answers, one of them is going to be right.
Once absolutely.
I have the right answer, that I can find out.
Absolutely. And I think that ability to push back past the first answer and constantly failing, which I do all the time, I think those things are helpful. I think they it's a different muscle. So my spelling, reading, math muscle is shit. Yeah. And I keep trying, and it's like a deficient, there's no way to strengthen it. But while I'm working on trying to not look idiotic, it's strengthening this other muscle way deeply about how to get past a problem, how to work out multiple solutions to a problem, escape looking dumb. Like, all these things that you work on.
So it's like when you're blind and you can hear really well?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Hey, side topic. Which sense would you lose if you had to lose one of your senses?
That's hard, because if you lose your sense of smell, you lose your sense of taste, I believe.
Somewhat. Not completely. Not completely. It changes different. Yeah.
I think I would do smell.
And not taste.
I definitely want to taste things.
Yeah, you definitely want to taste things. Smell you could really do without, right?
I think so. I don't know how much that...
Obviously, it's not sight or hearing. Those are the two you don't want. Those are the worst two. Sense of touch would only get you in trouble. You know, if you couldn't, like, feel and, like, sense anything on your hands.
But then it's like, that's where all the pleasure comes from, is touch.
Oh, yeah. You probably couldn't orgasm or anything without that.
I mean, you can't do anything.
Yeah, that'd be in the middle.
I think it's no
smell or taste.
Yeah,
I think smell too. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I also don't like my nose, so I'm just like, get rid of it.
You got a solid sized nose, don't you?
This is an Italian like ugh.
Yeah,
I grew into it. I realized that
you have the same nose as Steve Renazzisi.
Who?
Steve Renazzisi.
I don't know who that is.
He's got the same exact nose as you.
Really? That's very exciting. We should.
He always says my nose is bigger, but I think his nose is bigger.
No, I think my nose is bigger than.
Do you think your nose is bigger than mine?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Tell it to Steve.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
Okay.
I mean, it's also about proportional things. Your nose might actually be bigger than mine because you're a bigger person.
You have a way smaller face than I do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But I realized I held on to residual insecurity because my nose was actually bigger. And then I kind of grew into my nose a little bit. So it's still big, but it's not nearly as big as it was when I was like 12.
Right. When you made your eyes.
Yeah, because now that Throwback Thursday thing, I was like, oh, my nose was a lot bigger. Oh, I have a cuter nose now. Oh, all I should probably let go of that all that sadness because I really don't like my nose.
I said this to Chelsea once. Peretti, she posted some picture of her and her brother when they were like 9. I was like, oh, your noses haven't even come in yet. She liked it. she's got a big one. Okay, so it's not reading stuff backwards. It's not that.
Some people do, but that's not my problem.
Because that's the standard, what people are told.
Yeah, like, or things are upside down and shit like that. It's not that. It's
upside
like
down and backwards, yeah.
Yeah, it's like letters aren't there, and I don't know how to pronounce them. Like, I can see that that's D-I-A-Z for Diaz.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. It's like, it's... I actually don't know how to describe it very well. It's like...
Let's try to get through it and describe it.
Describe it? I just... Yeah. Especially if I'm reading stuff fast, like on a highway,
yeah.
I'll see words differently.
Have you ever seen that essay or something? It's like a little cool thing they put on Facebook once in a while.
Where there's letters missing, but you can still
read
it. Tons
of letters, you can still read it perfectly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, I mean, I think that's a really helpful dyslexic skill as well, is that I can tell pretty quickly what it's supposed to be, and you don't need all the information to...
So you're just guessing, like, I think this says kaleidoscope. Pretty much it does.
Yeah, and you deduce from the sentence. I mean, a lot of that stuff, it's all a puzzle to me. I mean, when I'm reading, if I'm reading from a book and I mean, I like to read psychology and like science books, and a lot of this stuff is over my head, but I can piece most of it together even before I Google shit just because, okay, I think I've seen that word before and they're saying this, so I think they're trying to say this. And so I've been doing that since I was a kid, and it's still not easy. I mean, this is the biggest problem, and it helped reading about this. What becomes second nature to you never becomes second nature to me. So you know how you don't have to think when you drive, or you don't have to think when you're biking? It's always like I'm biking for the first time. Does that make sense?
Hold on. But we've said in a podcast that'll never see the light of day that when you're jogging, when you're running, you get this, it kind of, you go on autopilot and just be able, you're able to think and just think about other things.
Yeah, but that's running. This is talking about reading.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is...
I'm giving
analogies.
Okay, okay.
So the first time you drive, you have to be super alert, and you're like, oh my God, I put on my blinker, and oh, is that guy, where are that car? You're nervous, but I mean, I've been driving...
Yeah, you're used to it.
For almost 15 years, I don't even have to think.
So with reading, you don't get that, or you do eventually?
You as a reader, second nature.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spelling even, second nature. Every time I do it, it's like it's never happened before. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what they say is the benefit of that is that because every time it's brand new, it forces you to think of better and better ways to do it. So you have to just remember how to spell tomorrow. I had to come up with tricks, and that's why tomorrow comes up super quick for me, because I've spent all these, I did all these spelling experiments to find out what's the one that's going to stick for me, Tom or Roe.
Just by experimenting.
Yeah.
Just by trial and error.
Yeah.
Do you have trouble with sayings?
Oh, all the time.
Wow.
I have a bad memory, and I didn't realize that was associated, because my dad has a really shit memory.
Is that associated or not linked, and then makes it worse?
It is linked.
It is.
Yeah, they say you have a bad memory. I can't remember exactly why.
Do you have trouble with faces? Remembering, like, I met you at this place before?
Yeah, I do. I have a really shit short-term memory.
It's not because of that. Because of the weed?
I did smoke a lot of it when I was a teenager, and I'm sure that
had something... How long did you quit for?
I mean, I'm not completely quit. I just really... I went from being a pothead when I was like 13 to 17, and then I just did it like once in a while, and then I had moments where I would smoke a lot more, and then now, I mean, I probably smoke a couple times a year, and I've been doing that for like 5 years.
Oh, that's okay. Your short-term memory should be fine then.
Yeah, I mean, I've never...
It's not because of that.
I mean, it was shit before I discovered weed, and my dad's never smoked weed, and his is shit, and... My sisters have never smoked weed, and they're shit. You know what I mean?
Can anything food-wise make it any better or worse?
They say omega-3s. Like, there's all these studies.
Do what? Help or hurt?
For what? Memory or... For dyslexia, they're actually trying to say that it could be cured by like a shit ton of omega-3s.
What are omega-3s?
Omega-3s is like you find them in eggs. You find them in fish oil.
Omega-3
like,
fatty acids.
Yes.
I've heard that.
So, good job.
Thanks.
You can't find them in Sour Patch Kids. Just so you know.
You cannot find them in Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah, just so you know.
Well, you just haven't looked hard enough.
Yeah. If I eat enough.
Yeah.
They say that that's something that's like a huge deficiency. That's why they're always pushing like fish oil pills and shit on you. There's studies. I don't know if it's true, but there's studies saying that you can cure a lot of stuff. Depression, dyslexia, like a whole bunch of shit from omega-3s.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have stuff with autism where they're like, cut out dairy and see what happens. And all these parents are discovering like they've got a new child.
Oh, I mean, gluten, dairy, sugar. I mean, when you, like, my little brother has a lot of issues. And, I mean, I've told him, I was like, some of it, not all of it, but some of it can be improved by diet. And it's going to be fucking hard as shit. But when it's your health, why wouldn't you try to find out?
Yeah, people always try to write those things off, too. Like, even, like, cancer with cigarettes. Like, well, my grandfather smoked every day. Nothing happened to him. Like, that's one guy. That's a guy.
But cancer doesn't happen because of one move. Right. Everything is a compilation. So that's the reason why this guy can smoke every day.
Did he have
Oh, my God. I mean, did he have a loving family? Right. Did he drink a shit ton of water? Did he eat
You can't fresh isolate.
Salmon? You can't. That's not how it works. Like, that makes me angry. Because when they say I'm predisposed to breast cancer, it doesn't mean everyone's going to get breast cancer. It just makes you highly more susceptible.
Yeah.
And there's, because, so we kind of touched on the fact that mental illness runs in my family. So I've read a shit ton about mental illness because I'm scared of losing my mind. And what I've learned from mental illness, and I think it's for everything, is it's a switch. I have probably a very predominant crazy switch, like a mental illness switch. Depending on how I live my life, will turn that switch on or not. Not everybody has it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do have it, not everybody can have it as easily switched as probably my family, because genetically it's on both sides. That's,
Jay Fodd, whatever his name is. These guys who have dementia in some way. Schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Can be set off by weed or mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, you already have to have that predisposition to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for me, I became super aware of that switch can be turned on. And the same thing with cancer. I mean, if you come from a super healthy family and you smoke cigarettes, but you also take care of yourself and you do all this other stuff, you probably won't turn on that switch.
Yeah, but if cancer runs in your family, maybe you have two cigarettes a day, it'll be too much for
you. Exactly. I mean, there's people, a good example is there was a very famous, is it trombone when you pull in and pull out?
Possibly.
I think so.
Okay.
Trumpet? No.
No, trombone.
I think it's trombone. Famous trombone player. So you pull it in and you pull it out, and he never smoked a day in his life, but this is before all the outlaws of cigarettes, and he got lung cancer.
From using other people's trombones?
No, from playing the trombone in smoky clubs.
Oh, he got it in that way.
Yeah. So it's like, that's just secondhand smoke. That's not even full smoke. Yeah. It's secondhand smoke that he's pulling in, but I mean, he was probably more susceptible to the cancer because he's not the only trombone player that's doing trombone shit in the 50s. Like,
Do you have you ever heard of Mixaplex?
Mm-mm.
He's a character in, I don't know, one of the comic books, but he's the opposite of Superman.
What does that mean?
He exists in this other dimension. He's Superman in another dimension.
But is that the opposite of Superman?
Yeah, he does everything differently. He's evil instead of good.
Okay.
And then he can't pronounce vowels.
Is Superman really good at pronouncing vowels?
Yeah, I think the way to trick him back in his own dimension is to make him pronounce a vowel.
It's weird.
I don't remember it all exactly. This is from childhood.
Okay. Was it a popular comic book?
Well, not the most popular, I guess. MXP Mixaplex. Now I'm dyslexic.
No. Why are you using it against me?
Mixaplex Images. Maybe it won't come up. Maybe I have to put Superman in there, too. Get out of here, pop-ups.
I like that you Google a lot during your podcast.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Do your listeners mind?
Mixaplex Image. No, none of these are Superman, huh?
It's a lot of graphs.
Yeah, I'm going to put Superman in there, too, and see what happens. So, did your father, was he able to like help you through this stuff?
So, my dad didn't know he was dyslexic until like after college.
Yeah, that must have been way harder.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything had to be on a typewriter. Do you know how fucking hard that is? Whiteout was his best friend, but he actually would he would ask his aunt to type papers for him.
He would have his aunt, Mr. Mc. Oh wow, I spelled.
So he would write everything out,
yeah,
and then my aunt would type it out like way better.
How could he write it out? He would just have terrible handwriting.
Yeah, my dad's handwriting isn't the worst, but I think you would kind of know what was spelled wrong.
Yeah, that's him.
Which one?
This guy.
He doesn't have much hair, so, and he's not very handsome. He's redheaded. So
I guess. Mixoplex. Yeah, Mr. Mixoplex. It's spelled MXYZPTLK. Mixoplex.
Yeah, that's. I would never.
God.
Oh, he kind of looks like a Joker.
Yeah, he does kind of look like that.
When did this come out? 80s?
1944.
Oh, 44. Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is that how old Superman is?
The specific limitation of the character has been eliminated since Crisis. Yeah, he's old.
I didn't realize that.
Home in the fifth dimension for at least 90 days. Every time he's pronounced a vowel. Oh, no. That's it. Trick him into selling his name backwards. He can't say vowels no matter what. But you trick him into saying his name backwards. I don't know. Regardless, this is for Mike Lawrence, not you.
He's your biggest fan?
No, but I just... I had that good Mike Lawrence insult that we had to take out about how gross he'd look eating gummy worms.
That was in the one...
I know, the one we lost.
Yeah, but now you're going to have to take it out again. You just made work for yourself.
No, I meant like I lost it. I didn't mean like I have to take it out. I meant
lost to
the world. Aw. The image of Mike Lawrence with gummy... wet gummies in his hair, in his beard hair.
And you have no context.
So your dad just had to figure out on his own.
Yeah.
Did he think he was different or retarded?
He thought he was dumb. I think everybody thinks they're dumb. Because keep in mind, like, I will get to where you're going.
Yeah.
Just slower. And I've always been like that. So that's actually given me a lot of patience because while most people are like, I can't do this, I'll be like, I think I'll get here. So stuff that's outside of dyslexia, I've able to push through and have faith in myself because I've had to push through all these other issues with my mental capacity, knowing pretty young, like I couldn't read until the third grade.
At all.
Couldn't read. And they were pretty upset when they started reading.
Kindergarten, right?
I think so.
Wow, that's late then.
Yeah. So then I had to take special classes after school. I was put in special classes in school.
When you say special classes, you mean special classes?
No, I mean, I don't think, I'm not with like, you know, mentally challenged people. I'm with other dyslexics or people with learning disabilities.
People who start fires?
Possibly. I mean, my mom, so we all.
They did in The Simpsons.
We all had it.
Special class. I start fires. Yeah.
But my mom used to call it like physics for criminals. And what'd she call? Oh, crap. She had some good ones. Chemistry for criminals, physics for. Chemistry for cons, physics for criminals. Something like that, which is basically the kind of the slower classes. So like, I actually had a brother, my youngest brother, who's 19, he actually was the least dyslexic, so he took like AP classes, but most of us did not take AP classes. We were in like the slower classes.
Oh.
I got out of it in high school, and then I got started putting in regular classes, so I was in these special classes until like middle school.
So the more dyslexic you are, the harder your brain has on like summing up these words or figuring
out. Yeah, and it has to work harder, and it's a fucking exhausting. So keep in mind, it's not only just harder, but then I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of these kids.
Probably exhausted, yeah.
Yeah, that are frustrated on multiple levels. So you just wrote this whole paper. I'm struggling through half of it, and I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired.
Do they tell teachers to look for that?
Yeah, there's a couple different like learning disabilities to look for, but I mean, dyslexia is the easiest one to kind of see pretty quickly by their handwriting and how shitty their spelling and et cetera.
Oh. Is there a way, so like, okay, so it's not just seeing things backwards. It's not reading the time 8:13.
That could be some people's, but that's not mine.
Is there a way to, not that someone would know it, but is there a way to express things to you or to write things down to you so that you would get it easier? And maybe other people would have it harder. But like if it was backwards, I were like, well, let's write it backwards, then the dyslexic people would be able to get it.
Well,
really
that's
quickly.
Only for some people. It's funny, they came out with dyslexic font pretty recently. I sent it to my brother. Yeah, and I guess the way they described it is like certain points are thicker, so that if it is turned around, you know that it's actually a D because you know it's only thick here for D's and it's thick and things aren't rounded. So think of it. Think that a P
Yeah.
is just a flipped up D.
Yeah.
But if the P isn't as round shaped and it's weirdly, it's rounded or not as completely, like maybe it's like a little weirder, then that's a P, and then the D might be perfectly rounded.
Yeah.
So you know if it's flipped, you're like, oh, that's actually a P.
Six and nine are trouble. The only way people, because those look the same, actually. The only, yeah. They have lines underneath them or over the top of them.
Exactly. So it's a way to differentiate it so you don't get confused. So I don't know if it would work. I mean, I just saw the article and I thought it was interesting. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I have tools, but they're tools to get through it without being frustrated. They're not tools to fix it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So like my thing is I usually have to Google the word. And then because you also will spell something, it'll be the wrong thing.
So you have, open up your phone. Let me see something on your home screen.
My home screen?
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah. No, open it, like unlock it. And then that screen. Yeah. Do you have dictionary.com right there?
I have it right here.
Back one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I probably use that most days. Everything, I take a lot of pictures, so it's a lot of picture shit.
Oh. But you don't like the algorithm they have, dictionary.com.
They had an amazing algorithm where I would put in my bullshit that made no sense, and they'd be like, do you mean restaurant? And I'm like, fuck yeah, dictionary.com. And now it's like, do you mean resilience? And you're like, that's not what. So Google is actually way better. So then I put it in Google, and then usually I have to go to dictionary.com to make sure that it's the right word. Because sometimes I'll put it in, I'll be like, I think it's that word, and then I have to go find the definition to make sure it is. So something like defiantly is, I could spell defiantly right, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for definitely.
If you try to spell defiantly, they'll be like, you mean defiantly, right? You're like, no.
No. So, right. So I have to go to Google first, and then from Google I have to go to dictionary.com.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then I still spell shit wrong all the time, and my grammar's really shitty.
Is that a part of it too?
Yeah, but I think some of that's like learning stuff, and like I'm trying to be better about it, but I just forget things. And
what did they do in the olden days with dyslexia?
You're dumb.
You're dumb, and that's it.
You're dumb. Yeah.
You ever heard Metzger's bit about autism?
Say it again.
You ever heard Metzger's bit about autism?
I don't know.
He's like, we didn't have autism when I was younger. We had nerds. We didn't realize they were all autistic. Like, hey, yeah. Look at that nerd. He's not moving in dodgeball. He's just taking it.
Well, that's what they say, is that they, you know, autism is like through the roof now, but they actually say there's the same amount of autism. But they're diagnosed now. Yeah. Same thing with learning disabilities.
Depression was like that too, where they're like, people didn't used to get depressed. Like, no, they just did. They just committed suicide.
Yeah, or they didn't talk about it. Yeah.
Live with horrible pain for their whole lives.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also, I read a whole book about marriage because I don't like it. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's dumb. My thing is, if I'm going to have a strong opinion on something, I want to be informed about it. So if I'm going to go around saying your marriage is dumb, yeah. I want to be informed of why I think your marriage is dumb. So I read the whole history of marriage up until like the last 20 pages because I got bored. That might have been like some really good information. But the whole thing about marriage is like everybody, like my dad is from the 50s. He loves to talk about how great the 50s were. And to me, it's like, well, there's a lot of horrible things that happened in the 50s. But, you know, like, let's put it this way. I have two cousins that had babies out of wedlock. Still with their girlfriends. Love their girlfriends. Love their kids. Take care of their kids.
Don't need marriage, you're saying.
They're just not married.
Yeah.
My dad will bring it up all the time. Looks down upon it. Thinks it's...
Let's talk about what? Marriage?
No, it looks down upon the fact that they had a kid out of wedlock. That Jesus, they're they
such
still
religious garbage. Like, yeah, who cares,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, 12 years of Catholic school. That they still aren't married, but they're good. They're good people. Yeah. They're good fathers. They love their girlfriends. They take care of their. What's the problem?
Yeah, whenever I bring it up, and people are like, yeah, I get not getting married, but if you want a family, then you have to. I'm like, wait, why would that add anything?
What's
just
the problem?
Two people living together.
And then even when people get divorced, you're like, well, I can't be a good dad. Who gives a shit? Be a good dad. Yeah, it's a little more complicated, but go be a good dad. So I read all this stuff about marriage because I just thought it was stupid. And you read about this heyday of families, and all these women are sad. They don't have jobs and they want to be challenged, and they can't speak up against their husbands because then if they're divorced, we have to move back with their parents, or their parents might not accept. There's all these reasons why they were forced in to have this 50-year marriage. It's not that they knew how to keep it together. It's they didn't have options. So we're glorifying marriage. You know, people don't know how to stay together like they used to. No, people are staying with abusive husbands, or husbands that never came home, or people that didn't love them, or with all this stuff that couldn't be expressed, but we look back on it like these kids today, they just don't know how to take care of each other and love each other. And it's like, no, I mean, if in 10 years you don't fucking have sex with me and you think I suck, I'm not going to keep marrying you. Why would I stay in that? I'm only 30. I'm only 40.
Yeah, it's just antiquated.
Yeah, it's
like,
dumb.
I get it from old time. But they're like, what about tax reasons? I'm like, yeah, but why was that even part of it?
Yeah, why am I
marrying...
Get rid
of that tax break shit.
I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm not going to marry anybody for a tax break. I'll just make a little more money. Right. I mean, I don't like. I want
to
make a little more money.
To my friend David, when it was like legal in California for about a few months, and they had the Prop 8 stuff. And like, no, illegal for a few years. Mm-hmm. But during that, like, oh my god, they're just doing gay marriages in San Francisco. Nobody's talking about it. I'm like, David, let's go up there and get gay married. And
just
he was like,
fun?
Just to make a mockery of it.
Yeah.
Like, this has nothing to do with love in any way. We're just friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, my mom's gonna find out, and it's gonna be weird. I'm like, okay, you will get health insurance out of it.
Yeah.
You will be completely covered under my SAG health insurance.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. Yeah. I should do it then. He didn't do it. But
yeah. I mean, I almost married my best friend so he could get a green card.
Sure.
And I didn't do it. I mean, I now have more of a distance from my parents, but at the time I think I was 21.
Yeah.
And I think I was still even in college, and they were very upset. But to me, he's my best friend. I don't care. My dad was like, but then you'll be divorced. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, so what does that
do? I mean,
that's what people talk about, Justy and JF.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, maybe they got married too early, is what Big J was saying.
Yeah.
Like, they just got married too early. I'm like, but what's the difference, really? They're just going to sign some papers and they'll be on their way. Like, no real harm.
I mean, there is harm because they cared about each other and they loved each other. That's breakup harm, but there's more casualties to marriage harm because they have an apartment together, they have shit
still
together.
Still just relationship stuff.
I get that. I just, there's more steps. I mean,
another step to get out of it.
I mean, somebody was telling me it takes 6 months to
they
even
make you wait. Like,
and then there's lawyers
you
have to pay. I don't, if we're together and we're living together, maybe there's some lease shit, but I don't have to pay anybody to leave you. You have to pay. And then some people don't want it. So this is the other thing. So let's say we're in a relationship. I now hate you, but we're still married. If I get go into a coma, you can tell the doctor unplug me. Like,
oh wow,
yeah, like that's the kind of scary shit with marriage. Is like, you're this person. That's one of the things my dad was like really shoving down my throat when he was like, you know, he actually has control over your money and you know your livelihood. And
wait,
I was
what,
like,
when you get fake married,
yeah. But I was like, he's my best friend, and here it is, you know, 10
you're
years
like,
later.
No, it's not a bad person to have that control.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I mean,
Carmen would probably be good. You probably
Carmen
would
do great.
She knows what I want.
I would love to have health insurance with Carmen. We would.
She's
kill
got
it.
Health insurance.
I think we both do now. I mean,
how do you guys have health insurance?
I do it through my family. My parents have a business.
How does she have it?
I think Obamacare.
So they just make you an employee?
I do. Yeah, I do some like online stuff for them.
I had health insurance, but now I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I hate the idea of them forcing me to buy insurance.
Yeah.
Like, that's your fix? You're going to make everyone buy the same shitty insurance that's already available?
Yeah, and it is shitty.
It was already, people couldn't afford it, but now you're just saying, well, then we're going to bill you
and
more.
And then what it did is it pushed the people, the regular insurance, through the roof. And so everything's just shitty.
It's not covering everyone.
Yeah.
Just make everyone pays more now.
Yeah.
They cover less. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So back to dyslexia. Have you ever dated somebody else with dyslexia?
I don't think so.
You become friends with anybody with dyslexia?
Oh, there's tons of comics. I like to spot it. Like, I think Nate Bargatze is dyslexic.
Nate Bargatze.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I read his stuff and people, his friends bully him, but yeah. I read it and I go, those are pretty common mistakes of somebody dyslexic.
Let's text him right now while we're doing this.
Oh no. I haven't talked to Nate in forever. He like moved to LA and I like never saw him again. But I'm pretty sure Nate Bargatze is dyslexic. I think Bill Burr is dyslexic.
He was good. What?
I think Bill Burr is dyslexic.
I'm not going to text him over it, but yeah.
Yeah. I know Mark Riccadonna is dyslexic. I'm trying to think. There's a couple of comics that I've just found out are dyslexic. JF Harris is dyslexic.
JF? God, he's got everything working against him. Shakes the clown. He can't
but,
do shit.
But that's how he's going to become successful. That's how it works. Everything's against you. There's a bunch of, I've met a bunch of shit. Phil Hanley's dyslexic.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you guessing these?
No, that one I know. I know Mark Riccadonna, I know JF, I know Phil Hanley's dyslexic. I'm pretty sure Nate's dyslexic. And I'm pretty sure Bill Burr's dyslexic. And that's just from common mistakes that you see.
Like, what kind of mistakes did you see?
How you phrase things, leaving words out is a big thing for me, like leaving stuff out, mixing up sentences, mixing up words. Like, it's just these common mistakes. I wonder if he's going to be like, I think I have something, or if he's going to be like, no, I don't know how to spell.
I asked, who's the guy who was on Community a little while? He's an LA comic. He's really weird. He's like, I don't want...
Oh, he's like...
Eric Charles Nielsen.
Yeah.
So I asked him to do this podcast a long time ago when we were just kind of starting. He said he wouldn't do podcasts. But I was like, let's do a podcast about autism. And he was like, I don't have autism. And this is over email, so I shouldn't put the accent in there. He goes, I don't have autism and I don't want to do podcasts. I don't think it's a thing for me. And I was like, okay, that's fine about podcast stuff. But think you definitely have autism. I don't want to be rude about it, but I mean, I had that girl I live with used to take care of autistic kids.
Yeah.
Behavioral therapist. I'm like, there's zero question in my mind that you have autism.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you know, it's weird because I've actually wondered if I've had it. I've never been tested, but I've always wondered.
Yeah,
like, what do you mean? Then of course you do have
it. Yeah. You're probably on the spectrum, buddy. Like,
what's the word of the thing? Dyslexic. Are you dyslexic?
Yeah.
Do you have dyslexia or are you dyslexic? What's a better way to put it?
Do you know if you're dyslexic or do you think you're dyslexic? I don't know. I wonder if... I mean, I just know it from common mistakes I've seen from him posting stuff over the years.
Let's see.
Are you asking this out of the blue or did you say that we're...
Serious question. Are you dyslexic?
That's so random. You put no, preemptive... Like, hey, dude, I just wanted... Like, there's...
Yeah,
you're a very blunt person, though. So that makes sense that you would...
I guess so. It just comes from judging less.
You're very curt.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I don't know. You just come off very curt.
Yeah.
This is the friendliest you've ever been to me.
Well.
Not that I say we're going to be besties. We see each other for 5 minutes before or after a spot.
I have social.
Anxiety?
He says no.
Are you going to say that Liz thinks you're dyslexic?
I'm not.
I still think he's dyslexic.
Maybe.
Does he know how to spell?
Yeah, I guess I am Kurt. I'm socially, if people I don't know people, it's tough for me to go up to people and say hi.
But what if somebody comes up to you? Because the first time I met you, I knew you were in the city. You were popping up everywhere. And Justy, I think she had either done your podcast or she had hung out with you or whatever. I was like, hey, Ari, I'm, my friend Justy. I just wanted to say hi. And you're hi.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I was like, all right. And you were wearing a cat t-shirt. And I was like, I like your t-shirt. And you're like, thanks. And I was like, where do we go from here?
It's a problem.
Especially because I took the risk, which I don't even like doing. But she said you were a nice dude. And I was like, I would like to meet a nice dude.
Yeah, you got to get to know me more. I have trouble with, I have trouble with new people.
I get that. I mean, I have trouble when it's like... For me, it's younger comics and they want something from me and I shut down. But if somebody just comes up to me and they're like, oh, I liked your set or I heard that.
Yeah, if it's just hi, that's a real problem with me. If it was like, hey, I love your comedy. I really look up to you. Then it's like, okay, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I'm okay if I do something like that. But if you just said hi, that's a problem.
Yeah, I want to fucking be a person with you.
Yeah.
And you weren't a person back. What is Nate saying?
He says, are there signs that show I could be?
That's what he's saying?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. At first,
Oh, he's asking.
Yeah. So, what are the signs that someone like that would be dyslexic?
I don't know. The way he spells things and the way he structures his sentences. I mean, I remember seeing him get made fun of a lot by his friends. And they're like, oh, Nate, you're dumb or whatever. And I go, he's not dumb. It's the way he's putting things together written.
Sentence structure. I'm going to tell him who he is. Is that okay?
Yeah, you can just say we're talking about dyslexia and Liz thinks you're dyslexic. Not trying to be mean because she's dyslexic.
Yeah. Yeah, I already said she has it and she thinks you are. Yeah, okay. Sorry if I was curt.
It's okay. I mean, I've learned because I have my own social anxiety and I have my own issues putting myself out there. I've tried to be better about it because I've learned this, me saying, hey, I talked to Justy, she said nice things, and trying to talk to you and you being curt, I had to go, This has nothing to do with me. He doesn't even have, he has no information to even hate me yet. So this has nothing to do with me. Yeah. But if I see you a couple of times and you're just as curt, then it's hard to keep putting that logic to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can be like, well, that's him. And that has a
girls at the comedy store. Girls came to the comedy store. They always called it a really misogynistic place.
Really?
Yeah. But really what I think it is that it was just, it's a very socially awkward place. And so women in general are used to being welcomed, especially in comedy rooms where there's a few of you guys.
Yeah.
Especially any, if you're like above a five on a scale, like anyone like slightly above average.
Yeah.
We'd be like, oh, hey, how you do comedy? And then they come to the comedy store and people are just standoffish and stuff.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. And they think that's because of misogyny. But I'm like, no, you have to also look at how they're treating the new men.
Yeah.
Because they don't say hi to the new men either.
Yeah. You're a newbie, gender not included.
Yeah, you can't isolate. You have to.
I mean, well, I've noticed that with women in general. So if you're brought up as a woman that you're special, so you're pretty, you're you know, you're girly, you're fun to be around, you're fragile, whatever it is, something that makes you special in the insert of being a woman.
Yeah.
And then you try to go to a place where that isn't valued and you don't get that same reception. That's why women drop out, is because they've been told that they should be, even if they're not saying, hey, I want to be valued for my body, or hey, I want to be valued for my face, or hey, I want to be valued.
They drop out because they've started being valued for their
No. Not that they start being valued, because they wanted that initial value. So let's put it this way. You're established. I'm semi-established in comedy. When I walk into a club, people say hi to me.
Yeah.
People don't ask to seat me. You know what I mean? There's this initial, I belong here.
Yeah.
So as a woman, you're taught that the way you look and the way you are just being a woman, that you are not appreciated, but there's some value there. So I walk in, people look at me. I walk in, people ask me if they can help me. I walk in, people might go gaga over me, whatever it is. And when that doesn't happen, it plummets their self-esteem, and they don't want to be there anymore because they're not being valued.
They're not being looked at.
Yeah. But if that was never inserted, which it wasn't really in my family, and I really... Right. Like,
your massive nose.
Because of my massive nose. It wasn't even that. It was more like... I kind of was raised like a tomboy, and I was raised like a boy, and I mowed the lawn, and I chopped wood, and I had responsibilities, and I took care. My dad cooked, my dad cleaned, my dad mowed the lawn, my dad worked. My dad kind of did everything, and it wasn't this gender role thing. So when I got older, it isn't weird. I'm in several male-dominated fields, and I take care of myself, and I wear makeup, and it took me a long time to even just dress more feminine. But for me, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I want
all these expats that are living in China now, all these white people, are especially the girls, have to deal with this thing of seeing so many people not looking them up and down.
Yeah.
Because those Chinese guys are just not attracted to blondes.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just like, how are all these people are ignoring me? In a city of 24 million, only 25,000 of them would even consider me attractive.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck?
Because you've been told and you've been treated. And so I think...
Yeah, I loved it there. Everyone just ignored me. And I was like, yes.
I mean, I think I would too. I mean, for me, I want to, especially as a female comic, but I want to walk in the room and be acknowledged as a person.
Yeah.
And be acknowledged as a comedian. And because that was, this other level was never important to me, that wasn't a deterrent in the beginning. You know what I mean? Where people are like, oh, she looks young. You know what I mean? Like, or it's a girl. Like, it was just thing where it was like,
younger than 29. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I looked, so now when I walk into a room and I'm valued as a comic and people don't see me as a girl, I like, you know what I mean? I'm comfortable there. And a lot of women aren't taught to be comfortable.
Maybe that's
there.
Why I was curt to you too. Maybe I saw you as a girl.
Sorry about that. Sorry about all my girliness.
Yeah. Sorry for being curt.
It's okay. I got over it. We're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Again. Jesus Christ. Do you have problems with communicating with women?
No, but like if there's a woman that I see on like a sexual level, then it's like...
Then you get all weird.
Yeah. It's like either I'm going to go for this or I'm not.
How do you get weird?
Curt, things like that.
But you just get standoffish?
I guess so, where it's like, I'm either going to push forward to, you know...
Yeah, to try to make this a thing.
Yeah, or I'll just like, I'll deal with it later. instead of just like, oh, I can just, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like those other guys at LOL that hang out there, you know, I don't know, I guess I'm standoffish to them too. I don't know. Like people like Bert Kreischer are just life of the party instantly.
I don't know who that
is. I don't get that.
I'm a slow burn. It takes me a while to get comfortable with people.
Yeah.
But then when I do, I'm like, it's like I'm in my jam.
Introversion.
Yeah. A lot of that.
Okay. So let's get back to dyslexia.
I like, you'd love to stay on topic.
That's what this podcast is. It's topic based.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So I'll meander and stuff, but then I got to come back.
Okay. You got to keep pushing me. I feel like I'm a typewriter. You got to keep pushing me back to
center. Well, then also it's getting at some point where it's like, I'm going to have to stop this to go do a spot. And I don't want to like cut it short without finishing up the topic.
I got you.
Okay, so let me think. What else? If you see other people who have it or think you do.
I mean, there's
is there a test for it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. I don't remember because I probably took it as a kid.
Is there an online test for it?
I'm sure there is.
Huh.
It's like, to me, it's pretty commonly recognizable. Yeah. I mean, there's other learning disabilities that I think are harder to recognize, but like people love, I mean, it's like anything, just like what Seinfeld came out saying that he thinks he's on the spectrum of autism.
Really?
People
love that. Where he writes every, like he picks an X on his calendar. That's the only day of the month that he doesn't write like 6 hours a day.
Yeah. Being as kind of like organized and controlled, like he it makes sense. But like dyslexia, like we love to name other people that are dyslexic. So like Tom Cruise is dyslexic.
Is he really?
Yeah. And that's like something that he's dyslexic and he's out. It's funny. I read that the Dyslexic Advantage and they have a whole chapter about like outing yourself. And I was like, oh, people don't out themselves. I was like, how does it like
not? Because they're embarrassed about it?
Yeah, but it's also like, how do you not out yourself? All they have to do is like read a text message. Like, right. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, how do you...
Like, all right, man.
But like they talk about like you go on a job interview. Do you say anything? Like I'm trying to get a writing job. If I got a writing job, I would have to tell them I'm dyslexic. I'm either going to have somebody have to comb through my scripts or it's going to take me longer to comb through my scripts.
Right.
But I've never submitted a writing packet. I've never submitted a script without having at least two people read it. Because,
to make sure there's not like crazy mistakes.
There's always crazy. Even when I comb through it 15 times, I will write an email. Because like
you're unable to see certain words a certain way?
I can't see it. I can't see that it's gone. Even after I've read it 15 times.
Hmm. Are there things that are specific to dyslexics that like you guys can see? Like, you know how it takes a while? Like, you know, remember those cross your eye pictures?
Yeah. And then you see
some people get
image.
Better at it?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I have no idea.
One of the reasons I'm curt also is because I judge a little less. So it's like, I'll just ask about dyslexia. Who cares? It's not a big deal. So I'll just ask Nate if he has it.
Okay.
You know, I can ask him if he played football in college and high school in the same, like, who cares?
I guess I...
If it's not a negative, then it's like, I'll just ask you.
That's true. I mean, some people could see it as something that's really embarrassing.
Do you?
In some ways, I don't. Like, I can tell you, hey, I'm dyslexic. But when people find, like, me reading stuff, I'm very embarrassed reading stuff. And you seeing how bad it is.
Because you know people are calling you dumb and retarded.
Especially if you don't understand it. So even though we're talking about this, me reading that poster is, like, embarrassing to me.
Huh.
Or spelling stuff. Like, that's... Even though we've just talked about...
Would you get embarrassed if I asked you to reach up and get that stuff on top of the fridge?
I mean, only because you have to see me struggle. Do you see what I'm saying? You're watching me struggle.
So that's the issue.
Yeah.
So it's not that you'd be embarrassed that you can't reach it. If I'm in the bathroom while you're trying to reach it,
Let's put it this way. You're in the bathroom. You ask me to get a glass. I can't reach it and I have to get it myself. I'm going to climb your counters. And if you come out and you watch me climb the counters,
then it'll be embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed.
But you won't think twice about it if...
I know. I do what I have to do to get the glass. I've always been that way. And I've always been tiny, and there's pros and cons to being tiny. Same thing with dyslexia. I'll do what I have to do. I have the dictionary.com. I tell people I'm dyslexic. I mean, I have jokes about it. Most people in my life know it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that when it's spotted, especially by somebody that doesn't know me, it doesn't... I mean, my whole body gets hot. I feel really dumb. I hate people seeing me not know how to pronounce. Because the other thing is...
Because it's vulnerable. Yeah.
Incredibly vulnerable, but like... If I spell something wrong, it's not nearly as bad as pronouncing it something wrong, and that I get really embarrassed by that.
Yeah, pronouncing it wrong is like, whoa, have you never heard that word before?
Exactly. And sometimes, like reading it, like I'll look at a word and I'll be like, Clyde. I'll be like, kaleidoscope. Oh, why didn't you know that?
Because like, then you say, as you say, you're like, I've heard of that word before.
Yeah, and I'll have to like sound it out. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff is like.
You ever see The Simpsons when he's like, when he sees a gym, he's like, Gime? What's a Gime?
Exactly.
And then he goes in and he goes, oh, Gime. He still doesn't know.
But me and my brother laugh about it all the time. Like my brother was trying to pronounce something. I wish I could remember what it was. And he said it like four times. And then we just laughed so hard because it was so wrong. Like it was just so off.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean.
And you get laughs out of it.
We can laugh. I mean, I don't want people laughing at me, but two dyslexic can totally laugh at each other. That's a rule.
Yeah. Is it that it's vulnerable and you don't want to show vulnerability?
Yeah, like, I don't want people to know I'm dumb.
Yeah.
And to know that I know I'm not dumb, but it's being interpreted as dumb. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense.
And I have no control over it. So I have no control over how you're interpreting something that I can't control.
Yeah. You ever see that woman having a stroke while she was doing the news?
Hmm.
And she starts talking and then she starts going, yeah, and we're out here outside the mall with this Black Friday sales are going on and we think the fourth, and it looks like just nerves. Looks like her first day on the job because it's a local news station that you haven't, and everyone's like mocking her in the comments like, oh, it's not so easy, is it? And then it was like, oh, she was having a stroke.
Yeah.
She was literally having a stroke on air and she was like, why are these words coming out like this? You could see her on her face like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's scary. How professional is she that she just kept going?
Yeah, well, it's all of a sudden like you're suddenly using the wrong words and you don't know what time 5, 7, 7, 18 and you're just like, whoa, what is this? What is this?
Yeah. That's
you're
so
trying
scary.
To like get the words right. You're like.
But that's.
But yeah, but she didn't want to be mocked by like, you're dumb or you're nervous. Yeah, like, no, that's not it.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, my one of my biggest triggers is people thinking I'm dumb or people. And for the longest time, I did think I was dumb. And so it's taken me. And there's some things that I'm like. Think of like intelligence as a spectrum. I mean, I don't know string theory. I don't know some of this like brainy shit, but yeah. I read a lot. I retain a lot of information. I like to manipulate that information. I like to tie it into other stuff. I'm very creative. There's this other intelligence that I'm pretty good at. Mm-hmm. So I'm not over here. I'm sure I don't have a high IQ. I'm not the dumb that it looks like I am when I spell or read something.
Yeah.
And so that upsets me because it's almost like, what did Richard Pryor have? Was it MS?
Yeah, I think so.
So MS, your brain works great, but you can't, you're
frustrating.
Exactly. And it's that same kind of thing where it's like, no, I work. It just doesn't look like I'm working.
So you were angry that they're thinking something of you that's not true? Or are you just angry that you're being misjudged? You're not mad at them.
Both.
It is both.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man? I have dyslexia. Learn something.
I mean, and it's a defense. It definitely is a defense. But when somebody makes fun of me or like, I get made fun of for my Facebook statuses and Twitter tweets all the time. And if it's a friend, I can go, dyslexic moment. Right. If it's not a friend, it's go fuck yourself, man. I'm dyslexic. You piece of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I had a friend, my best friend since I was like 14. I remember I wrote probably two like tweets in a row that just did not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote me a really friendly email. She's like, hey, I get it. If you want, I'd be happy to read your Facebook statuses and tweets
for free for you
before you post them because there's a problem.
Yeah.
And she said it so nicely. And I was like, that's how you approach somebody. You don't say, hey, motherfucker, it's then, not then. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You don't think I'm not like it, the idea that people think I'm lazy or not trying or dumb is really upsetting. That kind of stuff.
Do you get upset when people mock? So we had this conversation probably in the other podcast about retard and how I won't say retard anymore unless I'm talking about retarded people.
Okay.
Or someone thinking that you have Down syndrome specifically. But do you get mad when someone, or upset when someone is messed up, they're reading and they mess up a word, like, oh, I must be dyslexic today, like as a joke?
I don't think it's that commonly used.
Used to be more, right?
I don't know. I mean, to me, I just don't really hear it that much. And I don't know if that is, I think people know what it is, but I don't think people like, really understand it so that way I don't think it's in the dialogue like that.
Okay. Wow, interesting. Okay.
But I like I said, I like spotting other dyslexics. Like I was a character in this guy's web series, and we did the read through for the web series. And one of the kids, this guy couldn't have been older, like 20, 21, and he was in charge of reading all the action. You know what I mean? And he was terrible. He was horrible.
And he had dyslexia.
I don't think he knows he has dyslexia, but he does.
You ever think you're wrong? Because I've seen people point out, like my friend Justin, who's super gay. He loves saying, oh, that guy's gay.
I'm sure. I mean, maybe yeah. Nate's not dyslexic, but for me, I mean, you could also just be bad at grammar. But like a lot of times, grammar. Like,
Justin, that guy's not gay.
I mean, just or like,
people say, yeah.
You know how people are like, well, if he's fit and he takes care of his skin and he likes plays, he's got to be gay. And you're like, I mean, sometimes you like plays and you like to work out and
yeah.
You have good skin. Like,
not
I mean,
always, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he, good skin. I mean, Nate could just be bad at grammar. Sorry, Nate. I don't want to throw Nate under the bus.
Well, yeah, other times, well, you said Burr and who else? I don't know who else, Phil Hanley. But like, you think Phil Hanley is?
Yeah, I know he is.
How bad is he?
I don't.
Is bad the wrong word?
I don't, I mean, I don't know him that well. I just know from what he's told, like Carmen and stuff. And I think it's bad, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Great comic. Good person.
Yeah, I like Phil Hanley. I had to go out of my way to tell him because I came here April of a year ago, year and a half ago, I guess. And so it was just going into the warm season, which is by design. I was like, cool, I'll get to enjoy it for a while before it gets horrible.
Yeah.
And so then he always wore cardigans. I was like, oh, just so you know, come November, I'm going to start wearing cardigans. It's part of my outfit.
Yeah,
like, I'm not stealing it from you. I'm letting you go ahead of time.
You're not the only person that gets cold, motherfucker.
Yeah. Wait, there was something else I was going to ask you. Do you think you're wrong about picking out? Who else is it? It's not just gays that pick out other gays. There was something else that picks out, that tries to pick out what they are too. But you're like,
I can't be autistics because they don't make eye contact.
It's not autistic. Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to pick out anybody. Fuck. I had someone in mind. No, I can't remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. That's
you think you're wrong a lot though when you pick out like that guy probably got dyslexia.
I mean, you can also not know. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't care, like think about people.
Absolutely.
If you don't care, then it doesn't matter. So for me, because writing is a big part of my life, because performing is a big part of my life, talking is a big part of my life, I care.
Yeah.
And I also have deep insecurities, and I put myself out there, and approval is something that's a part of my life. I care. And so I think because I care a lot, it's become a trigger and issues and whatever. But if you don't care...
You do bits about it ever?
I have a couple of dyslexic jokes, yeah. Huh. And then, like I said, it's like in my Twitter bio now.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes if I write an email really fast, but I have to send it out, the best way I can go is, hey, I'm super dyslexic. Sorry for everything I wrote.
See, that I feel like that's something people would say as a joke. Like, sorry, I'm dyslexic, I guess, today.
Yeah, and for me, I'm like, no, this is real. I just didn't have time to spell check.
What percentage of people are dyslexic? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. But I did say that like most entrepreneurs are dyslexic. That's
most
like
entrepreneurs.
Yeah, there's a bunch of books and facts and shit about that.
Bill Gates?
I don't think so.
The guy who started the ShamWow guy?
It doesn't have to be the biggest entrepreneur.
Yeah, just entrepreneurial
people.
Wow. All right. Fuck, well, we got to go soon. And by that, I mean I.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to be the stand in 30 minutes. So let's wrap this up. Right. Is there other stuff you want to say about dyslexia? Now would be the perfect time to say it. Something that people don't know
we're
about
great.
You guys. No, but seriously, something people don't understand about you that maybe...
I mean, if I'm triggered by something or I'm embarrassed by something, I shut down. So, I mean, that's just how I deal with my feelings. Mm-hmm. But, like... If we were all hanging out and then somebody laughed at me for mispronouncing something, I'll leave that party.
You'd shut down.
I'd leave. Yeah. I'd stop talking or I would leave because I'm sad.
And then
I have to do self-talk where I have to be like, it doesn't matter. And these people still care about you. And it's,
whenever I'm in an argument with someone and they're bullheaded, like, but they're like, oh, what'd you think? It was dead? No, man, because of it. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to argue with it. I'll just shut down.
Yeah.
This isn't pleasant, so I'll just make this stop.
Yeah. And
so
that
means, okay, fine, you're right.
Yeah, no, I know.
It doesn't mean I think you're right.
Yeah, no, I know how to shut down. Yeah. And I do it pretty easily.
And just leave the party.
Oh, yeah, I'll leave. I'm one of those people that as soon as I get embarrassed, I'm like, I'm an adult. I don't have to be here.
Yeah. When you've done bits about dyslexia, have people come up to you afterwards and had like moments of like, you know, I'm dyslexic too, and I can't talk about it. It's so brave of you or anything like that.
No, only my mental illness stuff. I have a lot of mental illness stuff, and people come up to me about it.
Yeah.
And like, I talk about my emotional issues, and that's something people
that's come one up that's to. More, way more, it seems like anyway, way more people are embarrassed about even talking about emotional and
I mean, I think it's even hard to admit.
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody diagnosed you with dyslexia, it's not the same as somebody says, hey, you have emotional issues, or hey, you have mental illness.
Because those are compared to being weak.
Not even weak. I mean, you're ostracized, yeah. And you're there's a huge stigma to mental illness. And when people say mental illness, they think of the crazy homeless guy.
Yeah.
They don't think of all the different variations or the fact that most mental illness isn't constant. It's you know, fluctuates. You know what I mean? And it's there and it's not there. And you can be a person and be mentally ill. And it's so. I mean, I'm dyslexic.
I'm weaning off my suicide pills right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I'm congrats.
Down to 2 from 3.
Congrats.
Monday starts 1.
Great.
Well, we'll see how it works.
I hope I helped.
No, it didn't help or hurt you. The pills are what helps. But thanks. Spell dyslexia. Can you spell that without looking?
D-S-Y-L-E-X-I-A.
No, not D-S.
Dis.
How do you get from the D to the S?
D-I-S? No, I think it's... Or maybe D-Y-S-L...
One of those two, but it's vowels with you, huh?
D-Y-S-L... I have to try it a couple times. I. Your couch is good for spelling things out.
Yeah, it is, right? It's not on purpose, but... So that seems like that's one of your things.
I think so. Am I like that guy? The
Mr. Mixelpluk?
Mr. Mixelpluk?
Mixelpluk? Anyway...
I feel like that guy.
What should I name? Are there any good songs about dyslexia? Do you know of any rock songs that have dealt with it?
No, I don't think people care.
You gotta find 4 songs about this.
4 songs?
Yeah, I'll do one with it. Some with the word Liz in it. Is there any good songs with Liz?
No.
There's never been like.
No, all you have is like the Queen Elizabeth reference. What do you think? You're Queen Elizabeth? That's about all you get for.
Yeah, that might not work.
And then Tin Lizzy was the first car. The nickname for the first car ever was Tin Lizzy.
So the band Thin Lizzy?
I don't know if the band Thin Lizzy, but Tin Lizzy.
Was that a knockoff of that?
Maybe. Or maybe it was like a really skinny girl. I don't know.
Oh, it could be. Well, I'll find something about backwards or something. Is there a song about backwards? I don't know. Sure. All right. Well, people can find you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Liz Miele.
Oh, I'm just going to say shit.
M-I-E-L-E.
Yeah, Liz Miele.
And you have your new CD that's out.
Yeah.
In a few hours.
Yeah.
Called Emotionally. Nope, it's gone.
It's gone. Emotionally Exhausting.
Emotionally Exhausting.
Yeah, it's out on Tuesday. And I do have a couple of dyslexic bits on there.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. On iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby.
Yeah.
And your shows. And you're going to be at the Brokerage in Long Island this Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
And then you're going to Europe. That'll be cool.
Yeah. For like a month.
Okay.
You know all these things. It's so weird.
It's funny how you said your CD like 19 times. I couldn't remember that. But I know specifically you said once, December 5th and 6th at Brokerage Comedy Club.
See?
Yeah. All right. 116. Good enough length. It'll be an hour and a half podcast with the intro.
Let's do it.
Instead of the fucking 2-hour one. Fuck!
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We made up for it immediately.
Yeah, with a sweet dyslexic podcast.
Yeah, this is a cooler topic anyway. But we should get back to once I forget all of it, maybe I'll go back to LA and then come back after this winter. Maybe we can do that then. I'm sorry for being standoffish. I think you're actually a funny comic.
Thanks, buddy. I think you're a funny, nice person.
Thanks.
I had no idea.
All right. Liz Miele, also LizMiele.com. And that's it. Write her a letter if you're dyslexic. Figure out a way to write her a letter. And all right.
Yay, friendship.
Yeah, friendship. There we go. All right, bye. You may be busy, Miss Lizzie. The way you rock and roll. You may be busy, Miss Lizzie. When you do the show. Come on. All right, that's it. Thank you, Liz Miele. Miele. That was cool. I learned a lot about dyslexia. I didn't know most of that shit. I really thought it was just like reading backwards or something. Or backwards and upside down. I think I'd heard that too. But it's pretty interesting. I saw something. And by the way, I'll have pictures on the website. Ooh, I gotta put that up. Of the fat guy from... Oh no, that was in the first episode. Nope, I guess I won't. God. All this good stuff from the fucking first episode that I missed. The fat guy from fucking When Harry Met Sally. That didn't come up at all, right? That didn't come up at all in this podcast. That was in the first 2 hours. Well, pretty good salvage, though. Pretty good salvage. Really cool topic. Like dyslexia. I've never, yeah. I mean, I definitely would have done that first before the fucking marathon shit. But we got it eventually, so that's good. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget, Montreal, December 18th. San Francisco, January 7th through the 10th. Pre-order the 2015 tour shirt. If you order before December 19th, they'll ship out and you can get them before Christmas in the U.S. Overseas, you'll just get them, you know, like a week later. So send them to a friend for Christmas and use my Amazon link for all your Cyber Monday deals. And that's it. Okay, don't let me forget, but maybe next week, I'm going to do a list of all the best podcasts. So if you're just getting into this, because I had the most downloads last month I've ever had. We set a record again, you guys. We did it together. Probably because Rogan's podcast got so many downloads. It's still second right now in my most downloads ever to the Prostitutey Fruity one from fucking 3 years ago. But it's probably going to break it this week. So I had the most downloads ever last month. What was that? Was that my ceiling or was that a dog? And I'm happy about it. And so thank you for telling people. Thank you for continuing to tell people about the podcast. I really appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully we'll keep going. So next week I want to do something, maybe in the intro or the outro, of like, here are my 15 or 20 favorite podcasts. So if you are just getting into it and you want a place to start, maybe those will be the ones. You know, good podcasts like Brody Stevens after he got out of the Nut House. Yeah. So, okay, that's the episode. Don't forget to pick up Liz Mealy's CD, Emotionally Exhausting, on iTunes right now. Check her out, LizMealy.com. You can find out all the stuff you want to about her. She also has a YouTube page, Liz Mealy. I'm just editing all these digital stories that we did. We did a bunch of for This Is Not Happening. So okay, some of you know we're doing it for television. All those storyteller shows that we did for years, and then we did online last year. We're doing it for TV, for Comedy Central. It comes out January 22nd, after at midnight, Thursday night, whatever that is. My special comes out January 16th at midnight, or January 17th in the morning, I guess, at midnight, but January 16th night. What was I going to say about it? Oh, so I've been going over them, and there's some fucking great ones. Will Weldon kills it. Kevin Christie kills it. Duncan's was so fucking cool. Sean O'Connor. Anyway, there's a lot of good ones that are just going to be digital. Eric Abrams had the idea to add just some more digital ones that we're just going to put online. So, yeah, those will be cool too. I don't know if we're going to release those before or after. We'll find out. I guess today I have this meeting. Anyway, whatever. Sidetrack. So... thanks everybody for tuning in and for helping me set this record for downloads. That's cool. All right, we good? Did I say everything? And if you're wondering, the music, some of that music is just regular music played backwards to find satanic messages. But I thought it would fit because of the backwards stuff. It's hard to find good dyslexic music. One Alice Cooper song, and then I don't know. All right, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but oh well. Episode 195, Backwards. I keep my bars. Backwards with Liz Mealy. Over and out.
I hate being dyslexic. Dyslexia really hates me. I hate. the spell check. The spell check really hates me. I'd rather have a beautiful secretary. I'm proofreading everything I write. But you'd have to be really teeny and be with me every moment of my life. I hate being dyslexic. Dyslexia really hates me. I hate reading the wrong word. The wrong word really hits me. I'd rather have a beautiful reader reading to me everything you write. But you'd have to be really teeny and be with me every moment of my life. But hey, it's only dyslexia. It's not like the world's gonna end unless you believe what the Mayans said. But when you really think about it, they're all dead. I hate being dyslexic. Dyslexia really hates me. I hate this song about dyslexia. This song really hates me.